Politics.
Politics.
Humor.
Humor.
Tequila.
Tequila.
And an IQ of under 64.
Yeah.
You're listening to Hard Top Radio.
Radio.
Hi, my name's Bart. You're listening to Bart Cop Radio. This is show number 28. Today's show has a little bit different format. I was running through a stack of stuff next to my keyboard, and it kind of ran long, kind of crowded out the Tommy and Bart segment. But Tommy will be in the show for Christmas. He took Tally, the lovely weather vixen, to England, and he brought his old studio with him, and he talked to some people on the street. Be a three-show arc there where we get to hear what the people of England think about America and George W. Bush. You're going to like this. All right, let me run through the checklist here, see what we need to do to get started. Oh, that's very good. Actually, this is the 17th take, and I'm starting to get off. So, got a big show. Let's get into it.
This is www.bartcop.com.
The whole Janet Jackson thing is starting to die down, but we still have the occasional person that needs to be straightened out. A fellow named Ron Beckstrom writes to the USA Today, whining that ER producer John Wells, who also does West Wing, complained that the editing has had a chilling effect on drama's narrative integrity. Please tell me exactly what narrative integrity was lost by not having nude scenes in Citizen Kane, The Ten Commandments, or On the Waterfront. Can't today's producers entertain without using nudity as a cheap trick to attract attention? Well, hey, guess what? Dude, you're wrong. What you should be attacking is gratuitous, unnecessary nudity. What Wells was talking about, they had to edit out a tiny shot of a very old woman's breast. She was in her 80s, I think. And they had to edit that out because they thought Colin Powell's kid and every other monkey in Washington was going to fine NBC $250,000 if an accidental breast showed up. And that's crazy. And this thing about Citizen Kane, the Ten Commandments are on the waterfront, guess what, Sparky? Those films, I'm saying, hey, those are fine films, but they were produced in an era where Dick Van Dyke couldn't even get in the same bed as his wife. Think about that. They used to have a rule that if they were even in the bed, they had to have 1 foot on the floor. Think how insane that is that Robin Laura Petrie had a kid, and they even did a show about this. Mommy, Daddy, where did I come from? So they explained the whole thing. And at the end, the joke was when old Billy said he was from Cleveland, so I was wondering where I came from. But the whole idea that they weren't allowed to even have a double bed in the this was the 60s on television, that's idiotic. That's just absolutely the most unrealistic thing you can have. Do you remember when Lucy, you probably don't remember, you're too young. I don't remember this either, but they told me. When Lucy was pregnant, they had to say she was in a family way. Because using the word pregnant on the air was just too shocking. It just would rip America like this poor Janet Jackson boob thing. It's not that we need more nudity in every show, but the idea, if it comes up, if it's part of the show, the artist, the producer, the director, whatever, is not allowed to show it because some monkey in Washington is going to throw a pissy fit to try to please the religious hypocrites that are trying to please a non-existent, invisible cloud being. That's insanity. You remember there was a nude scene in Godfather 1. There was just a few seconds of her breast, and I took that to mean Michael was a virgin, and at the time, and seeing a grown woman's breast for the first time, remember, they had no internet in the 40s, 50s, well, yeah, 40s was the first Godfather. But I thought the director's point there, Coppola's point, was that this was Mike's first glance at a real set. And I thought that was in, I don't know, they could have shot The Godfather without that, but that didn't make The Godfather a bad film. That made Michael a more believable character because Sonny was banging everything that moved, and maybe I'm just assuming wrong, but I thought the purpose of the breasts in Godfather 1 was to prove that Maeve was a nice guy who still had one foot in the, you know, like the Michael Jackson, I hope I don't ever have to grow up world, but on the other hand, he had to murder a New York police captain to save his family. That's what made The Godfather a great film. And for this monkey to equate nudity with bad filmmaking is ridiculous. It's as ridiculous as Tony Soprano saying, gosh darn it, when someone accidentally shoots him in the foot. I think it's time America got real. Speaking of real, well, I hate to say this, but USA Today agrees with me on this Yankee business. You know, they went out and bought the most expensive, best player in baseball. And what they said, what's good for the Yankees isn't necessarily good for America's national pastime. The trade underscores how self-destructive baseball economics have become. Rodriguez's average $25 million a year salary equals half or more what eight clubs at the bottom of the payroll barrel pay their entire team. So, yeah, that's why it says the disparity between the haves and have-nots has sapped competition from the game. Just as the Yankees predictably will be playoff contenders, fans in many cities will open the season knowing their teams have no chance to win. This checkbook baseball is bullshit. I'm sorry, I said a bad word. I just lost 10 subscribers. But this is killing baseball. I don't think killing baseball is all that good of an idea. Cartoon in the, what is today, the Tuesday USA Today. It shows the real demons haunting America, Iraq, jobs, the economy, homeland security, the Middle East, taxes, war on terror. Meanwhile, Kerry and Bush are standing arguing with each other. You were AWOL from the National Guard. Oh, yeah, you sat by Jane Fonda. That's a great cartoon because it shows that the issues don't count. But if the GOP can phony up a picture of John Kerry sitting five rows behind Jane Fonda, and then they get the dirty whores at the Washington Post, I'm sorry, well, they're whores too, but the Washington Times, to put a big giant headline up, Kerry with Fonda at anti-war rally. Well, you know, there ought to be a rule that if you went to Vietnam and got shot at, got wounded, and came home with a chest full of medals, you ought to be able to say any damn thing you want. Jesus Christ, what were they fighting for if not the freedom of speech, if not the freedom of ideas? Remember that thing called a constitution? Can't we just pretend it still exists? Headline, Tuesday, USA Today. Most economists credit Bush's tax cuts and rebound. To that I say, horse shit. Think about it for a second. USA Today didn't call me and they didn't call you to ask you what you thought was bringing the economy back ever so slowly. They called famous economists and there are no broke famous economists. So what they did, they called a whole bunch of rich people, probably very, very rich people, the head of, say the head of what, Seidman and Seidman was the biggest accounting company when I was a kid. So they call Mr. Seidman on the phone and ask him if tax cuts are good. He's going to lie because he wants more money. He can't get by on $10 million a year. What's wrong with you people? But so that's what these monkeys have done. They call a handful. You know, if you call Russert, he's going to tell you the same thing. If you call Larry Kudlow, he's going to tell you the same thing. If you call Jack Welch or Michael Eisner or Bill Gates or Warren Buffett and ask him, would you like a tax cut? Well, maybe everybody but Buffett is going to say, you betcha, I can't get by on the money I make. So once again, the USA Today pulling the water for the Bush boy, trying to get him reelected. We can't stand that. Something on the front page. The Bush team is going to paint Kerry as a liberal insider flip-flopper. They're going to call him another Massachusetts liberal trying to make out like he's Dukakis. But I heard this on the radio today. You know, there was another famous liberal from Massachusetts that the right wing, people like Limbaugh, regularly cite JFK when they talk about a good Democrat because he wanted to cut taxes. Well, yeah, when taxes were 80%, it probably was a good thing to cut taxes. But now that taxes are 30%, there's no reason to borrow money to give to the super rich. What the hell is wrong with America that they stand for this? There should be a million people in the streets every week in Washington, D.C., demanding that Bush stop borrowing money to give to the super billionaires. What's wrong with this country that they don't want to take action? What Bush has done, he's taking these billion and trillion dollar loans out, and me and you are co-signed for these loans. We've got to pay that money back. They pretend like it's going to be paid back with this tremendous growth and all this jobs that are coming in, all this fantastic economy that Bush has given us. But no, we're still almost 3 million jobs behind. Oh, and I had this on the page the other day. I'm still good for that. Somebody want to bet me $100 cash, I'll bet anybody out there. I'm not going to bet everybody. I'm just going to take this one bet. Bush will not be even on jobs come election day. Anybody wants to take that bet, write to Sam at BartCop.com, and we'll get together. Somehow we'll have to figure out a way to make everything public so everybody knows who got paid or whatever. I mean, you know, I'm not going to welch on this, and I'm not going to let you welch on it. But I'm a gambler. This is a good bet. It's a damn safe bet. And I'm going to take somebody's $100 if you're stupid enough to bet on George Bush. You do that, I will take your money and talk about it. All right, here we go. Guaranteed for some bad language in this one. Watch out, America. Headline, Halliburton defers billing for meals. Halliburton said it would postpone billing for an additional $140 million in meals for U.S. forces in Kuwait. Number one, what the hell does Halliburton, an oil field services company, know about cooking, delivering, storing, packaging, portioning, etc., a bunch of food? They don't know a damn thing about a bunch of food. But here's the deal. This is so easy to see. Why doesn't everybody see this? And Christ, after what, someone like me sees it and points it out, why doesn't everybody either say, damn, Bart, you are right, or no, you're wrong, and here's why? That's all I ever want in a debate. Either agree with me or show me where I'm wrong. But here's what Halliburton's doing. Bush has given Halliburton, let's say, $1 billion to feed the soldiers. Since Halliburton doesn't know a goddamn thing about food, what they're doing is hiring a food company for, say, $600 million and putting the other damn $400 million in their pockets. Who can't see that? Halliburton doesn't know how to serve food. They're going to hire someone else. They made these are wild numbers, but they make $400 million by just handling the paperwork. Bush says, hey, here's $1 billion, you guys. Can you feed the troops? And they look around, they do the math, they say, yeah, we can feed them for $600,000. All right, call someone, tell them we'll give them $620 million if they serve the troops. So Halliburton ends up with the $400 million for not doing anything besides making a phone call. Why can't people see that? It is so obvious. It's right there staring at us. Why do you think they have no-bid contracts? Because the other guy, the food guy, could go up there and bid $650 and make a profit, but no, it goes directly to Halliburton so they can give that money back to the BFEE, and it's just a giant circle jerk that they're just stealing our money left and right by the billions, and then they're borrowing money to give to their friends on the side, killing 544 soldiers so far. Iraq falling in a civil war. The monkey never, ever had a plan. All he knew, he's still that 9-year-old son of a bitch throwing frogs in the air. He wanted something, and he went and got it, knowing that daddy would bail him out if things went wrong. Jeez, that makes me mad.
These people are nuts!
Lots of things, you know, just don't pop into your head until someone mentions it, and then when they mention it, you think, damn, you're right. I'm Catholic. I haven't been to church in 30 years, but I've been in, call it 30 churches, weddings, funerals, etc. At Catholic churches, you always have a giant, often human size, whatever it's called, Jesus hanging on the cross. And what they do, they got poor Jesus hanging there on the cross, and there's a little dab of blood on his foot, and there's a little dab blood on each hand, and then maybe, you know, a slight beginning of a trickle where one of the crowns is sticking into his head. And then, of course, the little slit on the side there where they lanced him to either see if he was dead or to make him die early, whatever. But that's not how it is. This Mel Gibson movie coming up, and it's got the dumbest name. It's called The Passion of the Christ. Maybe they explain that in the movie, but you would think The Passion of Christ would make a better title. But they say this has got the bloodiest. They apparently, I don't have time to check it, but I think for 45 minutes they're going to beat and torture and then crucify this Jim Caziel fella as Christ. So that means for 40 minutes, I imagine people are going to leave the theaters crying. If you cried at Titanic, think what it's going to look like to see Jesus Christ get the living crap beat out of him. Tortured. I mean, if you've seen the pictures, it looks like someone picked him up by his feet and dipped him in a vat of blood and pulled him out. I mean, he is just as drenched in blood as you could possibly be. And the idea that Mel Gibson is going to actually show, apparently, what a real crucifixion would have been like, and it's supposed to be, Like I say, this is going to stagger a lot of people. I saw a few clips from Diane the Whore last night. They ran a few clips. I popped over between commercials, and yes, it is a bloody... I think it's up there with Private Ryan or Carrie or some of the other great blood movies, but... And I'm not trivializing, I'm doing the opposite, that the churches and everybody else trivializes the crucifixion when it was a horrifically bloody monster of a catastrophe thing to happen to somebody. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how a person like me is going to react to it, because, yeah, I'll go. And how, what are you going to do if you're a deeply, deeply religious person who feels like you've got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You're going to see this happen to them? Whoa. You know, I've heard stories about mothers, you know, you take the baby or the kid to the doctor's office when the kid gets a shot and cries and the mother's all overcome and everything. Hey, that's over a tiny prick. No Larry Klayman joke intended. But think what it's like to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and watch this film. I would imagine it's going to blow the doors off everybody. I just... I think it's going to be extremely overwhelming. And I remember when I saw The Exorcist in 1973, they actually had barf bags, and they had them there for a reason. There was people passing out, throwing up, going to psychiatrists. There was all that going on for The Exorcist in 73. And I imagine we're going to have some of this here, but that certainly will be something to see. A real crucifixion.
Touch that dial. Bart Cop Radio.